doomsayers who walk around with signs saying, "The end is near." Well, they're scripturally incorrect. What they ought to say is, "The era is near." Let's be specific. The King James is even wrong. The King James says the time is at hand. It's not time, it's an era, which actually helps us to discern when the time is going to be when our Lord returns. Hi, everyone. Once again, this is Martin Zender coming to you from my new studio. We no longer have a studio cam, but a bunker cam. I mean, the other way around. Thank you. We no longer have a bunker cam. We have a studio cam, and I welcome you watching this or listening on your listening devices. Let's read the first three verses. Let's read the first three verses of Revelation chapter 1. Again, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gives to him to show to his slaves what must occur swiftly. And he signifies it, dispatching through his messenger to his slave John, who testifies to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, whatever he perceived. Perceive, I forgot to tell you about that word, perceive. That's a good word. John not only saw it, the King James has what he saw. No, he perceived. It's seeing and hearing. He grasped it. He saw things and he heard sounds. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Paul also went to the third heaven and he saw things and heard ineffable declarations. Declarations that were not effable. Ineffable, that's what it means, not effable. You heard it from me first. So, on we go. Verse 3. Happy is he, or she, who is reading, and happy are they who are hearing. See? Reading and hearing. The word of the prophecy, and who are keeping that which is written in it. For the era is near. That's where I'm getting the introduction to the show here. The era is near. Not the time. Not the time is at hand. No. No KJV. No. 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 It's not time. It's era. Those are two different Greek words. Chronos is time. I think kairos is season or era. And an era is much more illustrative because an era has specific things going on in it. You can discern eras. Now, here's a funny thing. I told you at the beginning of the week that Mr. Nock, who wrote The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, the book that is, not the original document, was not funny. I said he's no Dean Martin. Well, possibly he is, because this is so funny. This is what he says. Few indeed have found the happiness which ought to be the portion of the reader of the hearers of this prophecy. Because that's what John says here. Happy is he who is reading and they who are hearing the word of the prophecy. How in the world can you be happy about all these calamities? Revelation to most people is the scariest book in the Bible. Who in the heck's happy? Few indeed have found the happiness which ought to be the portion of the reader of the hearers of this prophecy. In fact, few of the saints give it any serious study. It's just too much. That's why I'm taking this on. This is a bold move, man. You got to be either called or crazy to do what I'm doing here. But you're not going to get anything like this series on the internet or anywhere else, because again, we're using a sound translation of the Bible. And by doing that, we're getting insights that the mainstream doesn't have, because they're using incorrect, inconsistent versions of Scripture, which is making you inconsolable. And I hate that this is happening. So we're being accurate, and we're opening vistas of truth, such as swiftly, not soon. Finally, I got it right. Swiftly, not soon. I didn't say swiftly and quickly. And we also explained figures of speech in the introduction to this series. And we talked about what it meant to signify. We're going to talk about that again, because that word is coming up around, yeah, soonly. Oh, no, it already went by. Yeah, we've done enough with signify. I'm not going to talk about it much. You see that in verse 1, unveiling of Jesus Christ, and he signifies it, dispatching through his messengers. Go back a couple weeks and find my show that talks about signify. It does not mean to tell by signs, because by this word, people think that the book of Revelation is all signs. It's all metaphoric. It's all figure of speech. You're not supposed to take any of it literally. I exposited brilliantly upon this topic under the heading literal or figurative. That's a whole week of shows. Go back, listen to that again, because that's critical all the way through here. To signify means to tell, simply to tell. Because Festus wanted to signify the crimes of Paul to Caesar, and he wasn't going to play charades or 20 questions with Caesar. So he wrote them down. He signified it with letters of the alphabet. Those are the signs he used. Plain speech. Plain speech. To tell plainly. To tell. That's what signify means. It's not to tell by signs, because there are signs in this book. Okay. I'm glad we got that out of the way. So we're reading here, and happy as he was reading. Happy? How can you be happy about this? And A. Enoch asks the same question. Few indeed have found the happiness which ought to be the portion of the reader and of the hearers of this prophecy. In fact, few of the saints give it any serious study. Too complicated. We're telling you how it's not that complicated. There are rules of language, and when you follow them, it's not that hard. Who's telling you that? Who besides me is saying it's not that hard when we follow laws, follow rules? As to any happiness coming out of this judgment scroll, no one even attempts to keep what he does not understand. Yeah, John says to keep this scroll. Keep it. Keep the precepts. Look at this. And those who are keeping that which is written. I've been told that this book is not understandable. It's not graspable by humans. We're not meant to get this, Martin. Don't even try. It's too confusing. It's too complicated. If that's the case, how is it that John is telling his hearers in the conclusion of this letter to keep that which is written in it? Keep it. You can't keep it unless you understand it, unless you hear it, see it, hear it, and heed it. There is a way to do it. This was understood. This is written to be understood. It's not written in mysterious language. It is enigmatic in places. It's not the easiest letter. I will say that. It's the most difficult letter. But having said that, I will say that it's not impossible. I will say that it's meant to be understood because it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Not the veiling of Jesus Christ. He's being unveiled, not hidden. Back to A. Enoch. No one even attempts to keep what he does not understand. So you have to grasp this first. So happiness seems out of the question. How can such awful visitations and mysterious calamities? I love those selection of words. I'm a writer and I like this. I like this. Awful visitations. Sounds like somebody's mother-in-law is dropping by. Awful visitations and mysterious calamities. How can these make anyone happy? This is the next paragraph. I have to read this because it's even more amusing. If that paragraph was Dean Martin, then this paragraph is Jerry Lewis. We want to be happy. We want the happiness which comes from the perusal of this prophecy. We do not wish to devote ourselves to this study as a dreary duty. I don't want you to see this as, oh God, we got to listen to another session of Zenders. But I don't think that's happening, because I'm hearing that you're getting blessings out of this. See, I'm doing this the right way. And I'm telling you, we're looking at this, but we're also looking through it to see what it means, to see what it is going to do. It's finally going to deliver the world of all the burdens it's been under. It's like spanking your kid. Kid's miserable. He's all pouting. I think they ought to bring corporal punishment back into school. It's the greatest thing ever. You got a pouty kid. He's miserable. He's sick of himself. And you just give the kid a few serious, thought-provoking whacks with a paddle, and all of a sudden, it's an attitude adjustment. That's why they call it an attitude adjustment. And when I spanked my kid, I used my hand. But when I spanked my kids, I did it with purpose, and they learned, and they were relieved. Tears of relief, and we hugged each other, and I loved them, and that's the purpose, to relieve the earth of the burden. So we're getting a bit of this joy, and I'm trying to bring this to you and to myself by looking into this prophecy. Happiness, happy is he who is reading. And the reason given by John, let's take the words of the writer himself, is because the era is near. It's impending. This crapola that we've been going through for 2,000 years is almost over. 2,000 years, try 6,000 years since the days of Adam. It's almost over. John went into the Lord's Day, so he was really excited as he wrote, because he was there. He was at the door. He had to come back into his crap time. That's my contrast. the day of the Lord versus crap time, and he had to see it again as future. But the era was near. That was the message. Now, we know that the word near, unfortunately, the word near is not always as we consider the word near, because consider these things that were called near. This doesn't necessarily convey the absolute nearness, which might be inferred by our common use of the word, that this thing's about to happen. But that it's, well, yeah, it's so hard. Why do you use the word near? The era is near. But I want to show you an example. I admit it's frustrating, okay? I'm frustrated, I'll admit. But look at these examples. Paul said that Epaphroditus, his friend, was near death, yet he recovered. This was Philippians 2:30. Epaphroditus was near death, but he recovered. And for all we know, he lived a long time afterward. He was near death, but it was still true that he was near death. James said that the coming, James, the apostle James, disciple, said that the coming of the Lord, now he wasn't the disciple, he was an apostle, he was the brother of our Lord. Coming of the near of the Lord is near, James 5:8. Yet that was nearly 2,000 years ago. What's going on? The kingdom of the heavens was near during the period in which our Lord proclaimed it, but it withdrew when he was rejected. Matthew 3:3. Jesus Christ was rejected, so near is a relative term. This is where the comfort to me comes in of the word era. Because era, elsewhere translated seasons, I believe, is a distinct period of time that has specific characteristics. Spoke earlier on the eons. You have to go back and listen, if you haven't heard it, my week dedicated to the eons, the time periods God is operating in. Because in this, we see a calendar. And when you start talking calendar and God, I get excited, because God has an orderly sequence of events. And he does certain things at certain times. And he slammed the door closed to the kingdom. So it was near, but he slammed the door closed to make way for this administration of the grace of God. We have been in this administration now for 2,000 years. Now we look to the prophecies of Jesus Christ, wars and rumors of wars, knowing the seasons. We see what's happening on the earth today. The rise of radical Islam harkens back to Daniel chapter 2. We see an accelerated knowledge in the earth. We see miraculous changes taking place from 1900 to this time that have never taken place from the time of Adam to the time of 1900. We see Daniel's 77s, did 2 weeks on that. Go back and listen to that. We've seen those times fulfilled. The last seven period remains, and we're like hung up on numbers. God loves the number seven. I'm going to be talking to you about numbers, and I'm going to be giving you a year of the inauguration of the kingdom based on numbers, based on seasons. That's why I'm excited about this word season, that the era, the season is near, because it was near in a sense then, in that if Israel had accepted her Messiah, it would have come. But it is near in reality now, because the nations have been now at the head for 2,000 years. They've been the fruitful boughs of the tree Paul talks about. But the nations are soon going to be taken away. The body of Christ is going to be snatched away. Romans 11:25. We're the detainer. Callousness on part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. Then the nations that have been ruling the earth in Israel's stead will be lopped off the tree, and they will be burned, and Israel will be taking its rightful place as the head of all the nations. This is the thing that's near. And not only are we going to be looking into the scriptures in this series, but we're going to be looking at some current events. And we're going to be showing you, I'm going to be showing you. Why do I say we? I'm working solo. I'm flying solo here. I'm going to be showing you events that are happening, that have been prophesied, and that will tell you that the coming of Messiah to Israel is near. And if that's near, then the coming of Jesus Christ to us to snatch us away in the air is nearer still.